Good evening, everyone.
Is this working?
I think so. Okay. It's good to be with you all tonight. Truly is a blessing to visit and worship with you all. I'm very grateful for the opportunity the elders have given me to speak before you, and I hope that the message I bring tonight is both beneficial to you and one that glorifies God. Now, over this past school year, I've had the blessing to be a part of several studies and a preaching internship that all had a focus on evangelism and other good works. So that's been the thing that's been mostly on my mind throughout this school year, and it's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to bring up ways that we can be more effective in our works that we are called to by God. Before we get into it, I want to do just some context on what I'm talking about here. So when I'm talking about works, it's sort of something that's not completely spelled out. There's no list of all the works we're supposed to do in the Bible. It's all over. By works, it could be things from evangelism and teaching, or it can be just reaching out to people who are hurting, serving others, giving to those who are in need, and such things on that we are called to do by God as Christians. So the next question I have is then, what exactly is the role of works in a Christian life? Because this is something that many other Christian beliefs debate on and conflict on. And I want to turn to the verse that I think brings the most light to this, which is James chapter 2, if you would turn there. James 2, starting in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, many people take different views on works. Some will say that we can be justified and saved by works. Some will claim that there is no good in a person, there's no way for someone to really do good works. And we see in Matthew chapter 7 that the view on justification by works alone is not backed up by the Bible. Matthew 7 verse 23 says, starting in verse 22, actually. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. We see here that these men who are before Jesus are boasting in the works that they did, but their works were not enough to save them. But also, we are also called in James chapter 2 to do good works. So it's neither of these extreme views on justification of works or no works at all, but it's something different. And I believe that James 2 is saying that good works are a product of genuine faith. They are something that should follow our belief, not something that we base our justification on. Having that in mind, that's what I really want to get into the lesson tonight. After all these studies I've had and the training I've had this determination to do more, to teach more, and to try and do more good. But it seems that most of the times when opportunities arise, I tend to fall short in some ways. And I wanted to know why I kept having this problem. When the opportunities arose, I backed down for some reason. And I really sort of tend to relate myself to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, if you want to turn there. Here, God is calling Moses from the burning bush, and he is asking Moses to go and to help deliver his people from the bondage of Egypt. And Moses asks several questions like, who am I? will they even believe me? And I tend to be aligned with Moses in some ways, where my mind is not where it needs to be. I doubt myself, and I ask, who am I to even do such things? But this is not where we should be. We should be like the people in Nehemiah. And that's where my main verse is coming from tonight, Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, I'm going to be starting in verse 1. Now when Sarbalot heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it to them for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their heads, and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt, and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight. For they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders." So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now here in the book of Nehemiah, who started out in Persia, goes to the king of Persia and asks to go back to the land of Judah because the walls had been destroyed. And he's granted this, and he takes back this third group of exiles back to the land of Judah to build the wall. And in their building, these people who were in the land before the Jews came back are angered by the work they're doing, and they're starting to oppose them, they're starting to mock them, they're starting to threaten them. But we see here, despite that, in verse 6, they continue to work, for the people had a mind to work. Their mind was set on determination to complete the work they were given. And so I want to talk about what this mindset that we are supposed to have as Christians that is similar to what we see in Nehemiah that can help us be more effective in the work we are also called to do. And so going back to my doubt and hesitation I talked about before, something that can stem from that is doubt, and it could come from where my focus is placed. Because really, when these doubts and hesitations may come up, usually the focus is on ourselves with these works, but that's not how it's supposed to be. Our focus is not to be on ourselves, but on God. Turn with me over to Colossians chapter 3. Let's see what Paul has written about this. In Colossians 3, starting in verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We see here in verse 17 that everything that we do is supposed to be for God. And when the focus is taken off ourselves, it's easier to set aside these hesitations and doubts, because it's really not about us. It's truly all for God. We should not pride ourselves in our works, because we are given this chance by God. We are given salvation by God. But we are also to be seen by others. Our works are to be seen. Matthew chapter 5, where it says that, "Let your light shine before all men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Our works are to be seen by others. We're not supposed to hide them under a basket. But even though we're supposed to be seen, our intention should not be on ourselves, but to give glory to God. And we should keep that in mind. Next, I would say one of the biggest problems that can happen with us, that can hinder us from working, is fear. Fear is something I struggle with a lot, especially with talking to others and teaching others and evangelizing. I struggle with fear of rejection and such things, and this isn't how it's supposed to be. We can go back to the example of Moses in Exodus. It seems that the excuses that Moses is giving stems from fear. We see that back in chapter 2, because Moses does have a desire to help his people. He cares for his people, but this fear that he has is hindering him. Starting in verse 11, it says, "One day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. When he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together, and he said to the man in the wrong, 'Why do you strike your companion?' He answered, 'Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?' Then Moses was afraid and thought, 'Surely the thing is known.' When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well." We see here that Moses cares for his people enough to strike down one of the taskmasters, but he's filled with fear at the thought of Pharaoh seeking out him and killing him, so Moses runs. And we could have similar fears when dealing with what we're supposed to do. But it all comes to trusting God and denying ourselves, because we are told to deny ourselves and follow Jesus, and so we are to put our trust in God. And that brings us back to our example in Nehemiah 4, or just the book of Nehemiah in general, shows a great example of trust in God. The people, despite the threats and the attempts to oppose the work, they continued to work. But just about in every situation they're put in, their first reaction is to pray and to find a solution that pleases God. We should do the same. Even with all the opposition we may receive or the fears that we have, our trust should be placed in God. And that could be difficult to do, and it shouldn't be our last resort, as it may sometimes happen. We may try and do everything in our power to solve something, but in the end, we then go to God and we're like, "All right, I've done everything I can. Now, please help me." Our prayer should be our first resort, not our last. That's what we see here in Nehemiah. They first go to God in prayer to find the answer. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Verse 6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." Trust is not something that arises when it's needed, when we fear, but it's something that should be part of our lives. We should always trust God. We should always go to God when we need him. And so we should have not only this mindset of denying ourselves and giving all the glory to God, but trusting God when times are difficult, when we struggle, and when we fear. Third thing I want to talk about is this last mindset we are supposed to have, which is to be Christ-like. Now, many of us probably look up to people. We want to be like someone we respect. It's something a lot of people go through. They see someone, usually parents or close friends, and they admire them and want to be like them. And the Bible calls us to be like Christ, the perfect example. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Hold on. Sorry, that's the wrong verse. 1 John chapter 2. Let's go there. Starting in verse 4. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly, the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. We here are called to walk like Jesus in love. We are told to be imitators of Christ, because Christ is the perfect example that we are given. We could see throughout Jesus' ministry what he has called us to do and his example that he set in works. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to help those who were oppressed. He came to be a servant to all, even those who were his enemies. And we are supposed to be the same way. And it's extremely difficult to do. And that's why we're supposed to have these mindsets. These mindsets that are supposed to be ingrained in us. Because if we rely on ourselves too much, we will have doubt, we will have fear, we will hesitate, and we wouldn't love the way that we're supposed to. Now, these mindsets that we're supposed to have are supposed to be ingrained into our everyday lives. They're not something that will arise just when the opportunity arises to do something, because if we're not prepared, we probably won't be able to do what we're supposed to do. This mindset is supposed to prepare us. This mindset of trust, of giving glory to God, and being Christ-like. So looking back now on the mistakes I made, the opportunities I've missed, they were really because I wasn't prepared. I didn't prepare myself. The thought was in my head at one point, but when the opportunity came, I did not ready myself, and I suffered the consequences of that. So we should be thinking about these every day, studying and learning, because times will come when we are called to do good, to help others, and to teach. And we need to be ready. We need to devote our life to God and to the work that he's called us to do. It goes back to Matthew 7 here. Back to the verse we started with, Matthew 7, 22. Matthew 7, 22 says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. To me, this is one of the scariest passages in the Bible, because we can feel like we're doing a lot. We could feel like we're doing good work. But if our mind is not set where it needs to be, if our intentions are not right, Jesus may say to us, depart from me, workers of lawlessness, I knew you not. So we have to devote ourselves to God and deny ourselves, working towards giving glory to God in all things that we do. But first, you have to take the first step in devoting your life to God. If you haven't devoted your life to God, it's a good place to start. And we are called to be baptized in order to be saved. Saved by faith through grace from God, not by our works. And through that faith brings good works. So if you've yet to be baptized, or if you're struggling right now and you need someone to talk to, you need prayers from people, we can help you with that as well. And we invite you now as we come forward and we stand and sing.